Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, good morning to all the best people I know, and that is definitely you. And wow, love, 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 love our guest today. Oh my gosh, I know a lot of you out there are really jazzed about this show. We have Tony Dennison with us today from The Closer. How cool is that? He is just so awesome, and we are so excited and grateful that he's going to share his shine with us today. So if you have a question, you can always type it in the chat room, or you can call 347-637-1318, and that'll put you through to the switchboard. You just hit #1. And we will get you through. And, of course, all of our great guests, you can go to my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com, sign up for the monthly motivation news, and you get a listing of all of our great guests that we have during the month. Wow. Well, this is really going to be an interesting show because Tony Dennison is a very interesting man. As many of you know, he made his momentous television debut starring in Michael Mann's critically acclaimed drama Crime Story as Ray Luca, and he was named Best Villain of the Decade by Time Magazine. He has appeared in more than 24 motion pictures and television shows, but for the last 7 years, he's been widely known for his role as Lieutenant Andy Flynn on the #1 hit show on TNT, The Closer, starring Kira Sedgwick, for which he has received five SAG nominations, and he's won a Prism Award. And they are now filming the new episode of Major Crimes, which is the spinoff from the series of The Closer. Though his list of accomplishments has expanded throughout his career, Tony has mastered the art of being happy in Hollywood. And how has he done this? By living his blue-collar values in a gold-collar profession. He does many speaking engagements around the country now with the Keynote Group, so you can always find out more of his details if you were looking to have him as a speaker at the Keynote Group, the K-E-Y-N-O-T-E group, GROUP.com. And you'll see Tony Dennison listed there with a number of other amazing actors and actresses. So we're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. So be sure to stay with us.
Is your life crazy? Do you want to transform your challenges into celebrations? You can with the right guidance system. Check out Deb Scott's award-winning book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. Readers on Amazon.com give The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue 5-star rave reviews. Visit Deb at greenskyandbluegrass.com to get your copy and sign up for her free Mind Vitamin newsletter. Get The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue and step into your greatness today. Go to greenskyandbluegrass.com now.
All right. Well, just a few things that you might not know about Tony Dennison as well. His real name is, it's not Dennison, it's Anthony John Serrero, and he was born on September 20th, so he's a fellow Virgo like me, which is very exciting. He got his stage name, Tony Dennison, from a friend, actually. And he was the eldest of three boys. He was born and raised in New York City, in Harlem, and he's the son of immigrants. So he really had a real strong value system in growing up, which is why he's so determined to speak to corporations and people, schools, everybody he can about how important it is to have those real solid grounded values to achieve happiness. And being in Hollywood, he definitely could be distracted from all the glitz and glam and things like that, but he's really held on to his roots, and I think that's one of the things he'll be sharing with us today. He sold insurance. He had a poker club in Manhattan's Upper East Side. He's done a lot of amazing things. I know I'm aging myself now, but boy, did I love that show. It was actually produced by the same Miami Vice, Michael Mann, in the 80s, if you remember. He was Ray Luca in Crime Story, and he was in that with Dennis Farina, and that was really an amazing, I mean, that I think that show had, I don't know, 30, 40 million viewers. It was just unbelievable. It was only on for a short while, but while it was on, it was definitely a total hit. And as playing Detective Andrew Flynn in The Closer, you know, I think that this new role that he has with the spinoff is going to be pretty interesting. So we are just waiting for the Los Angeles time change for Tony Dennison to give a call in. So just hang in there. We're just another minute, and we'll get him right on the line live from Los Angeles. So stay with us.
Do you want to change your life and transform your challenges into celebrations? You can with the right guidance system. Check out Deb Scott's award-winning book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, turning your upside-down world right side up. Readers on Amazon.com give The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue 5-star rave reviews. Visit Deb at greenskyandbluegrass.com to get a copy and sign up for her free mind vitamin newsletter. Get The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue and step into your greatness today. Go to greenskyandbluegrass.com now.
Okay. Hang in there, everybody. I know that we're all just really excited and honored and privileged to have Tony Dennison coming on with us. But, you know, actors in Los Angeles calling in from Hollywood with the time changes. Sometimes things happen, get a little snag, and I think he is still filming. He's got a filming schedule going on here for that new show that he's doing. So, you know, sometimes we have to wait a couple seconds, and we'll get him on, and it's going to be worth the wait, I know. So, you know, this is one of the things that I love about this radio show is that there are so many people out there in so many professions in life, and the common thread with all of them really gets down to character values. And, you know, everybody wants to be happy, and everybody thinks that there are certain things that are going to get them happy, and then they find out, especially as we get a little older sometimes, that it's not necessarily the case. So what is it? What are those key ingredients that each person, whether they're a best-selling author or they're an award-winning actor like Tony Dennison, or, you know, they're considered a spiritual guru, you know, or they're just – you know, they're a writer, they're a teacher, they're a parent, they're doing things in the world, they're starting companies. Whatever it is, you out there, you and I all have that common desire to really live our life being the best person we were created to be, not competing against somebody else because that'll put us in the compare and despair mode. What you want to do is really be your best. And that's one of the things that Tony Dennison talks about is how acting is not necessarily competing against another show or another actor, but it's really almost, and he uses the analogy like a baseball inning, a game, you know, that each scene in a movie is like an inning in the game, and the actor's responsibility is to use their talent to bring that person through to that home run and getting that message and really feeling that experience. But, you know, in life as well, those values of integrity, of honesty, being your best, being I think, a person that has words, but more importantly has actions, And so many of you have written in or called in and talked about a real spiritual starvation for people that, you know, can walk their talk, people that actually have this ability to, you know, put into action things that you could never put into words. And that's really, you know, that really is a gift, because people can say anything they want. I mean, you know, if you go down to the battered shelter, you know, in any city, you will find somebody there who says, you know, oh, my husband loves me, tells me he loves me all the time. And yet, you know, you're looking at her and she's bruised, you know, maybe she has a broken arm or something. I just want you to know, we'll give you a little update here. We are going to get Tony Dennison on. I am working with the Keynote Group, and he's out there working 347-637-1318 is the number to call. And I just want to make sure that you know that we are working. We are going to get him on. You know, it's that time change out there, 3 hours earlier. And with his production schedule and all these great things that we have to go through in technology, I'm just going to hang in there for another minute. But I have been told he is coming. He is coming. So hang in there. But, you know, I really want to get back to this idea of these values, because this is something, whether it's, you know, we had one of my favorite guests, Wayne Scott Lucas. He's one of those celebrity stylists with Janet Jackson and Christy Brinkley and, you know, all those famous people that you see, and Tina Turner, all those, you know, famous people you see. He gets behind the scenes. And, you know, he talks a lot. He's come on and talked on the show a couple times about compassion and how in Hollywood you can get, you think you're so much bigger than yourself, and you lose that sense of humility, and sometimes it comes crashing down in a tough way. And, you know, becoming better or becoming bitter, it's always that choice. And I know that Wayne Scott Lucas was talking a lot about how he looks back on some of those tougher times as a real period of growth, and him enjoying his own company in a much deeper way because of that, in connecting and relating to people. And he'd had a dear friend, a loved one, who had committed suicide, and, you know, going through the struggles with that. But I think we forget that the Hollywood actors, the big famous people that we see on TV, you know what? We're all the same. You know, inside the skin suit, we're all the same, and none of us are staying. And I think that's humbling. But I love that we can all learn from each other. And I think we have Tony Dennison on the line right now.
Yes, you do.
The one and only. We have been waiting with bated breath for you. Thank you so much for joining us.
I am so sorry. I told my publicist, I thought, I swear, I would bet my life on it. I thought it was Tuesday morning.
Well, you know, it's all good and getting better, but we are just so excited and honored to have you on. I love all of the awards you've won, but I was talking with the listeners about your depth of character and this new mission that you have, talking about values and integrity and happiness, and it's just so exciting. But thank you so much. I know in California, and you've got a new show coming up and so many exciting things. Well, where can we start? Some people want to know, are we going to find out in the closer who the mole is, or what do we look forward to in the final seasons? I didn't know if you had something you wanted to share there.
Definitely find out who the mole is, and or how the information is being passed around. You know, you find out who is responsible, and you find out a few other things too, but you find out that one specifically.
Yeah, and that has just been a great show. I was talking a lot about how I loved you. See, now I'm dating myself, because I remember after Miami Vice, you and Dennis Farina in Crime Story, and that was such a fun show, and you've had such an amazing career. We were talking about your nominations and your awards, but the depth of character that you have, tell us what you're doing now with this blue, living blue collar values in a gold collar profession. What is that all about, Mr. Dennison?
Well, my parents, who are, I don't have very many heroes. I mean, I don't idolize sports people or other people in my business. But my parents are my heroes, my mom and dad, and they have certain values, you know. I mean, they grew up, they were immigrants from Sicily, but they came here as children. But they had certain blue-collar values about, like that biblical stuff about, treat your neighbors like you would want to be treated yourself, stuff like that. How to be, just work hard, that kind of stuff. And, be honest on the job and, do as best you can. And I learned all of that from them. I learned these values from them so that when I got to this profession, it's like you start thinking about how fortunate you are and how grateful I am to be there. And it's almost like, yeah, why wouldn't I want to work this way? Why wouldn't I want to be on the set this way? I tried to cause a modicum amount of difficulty, and, that might, I mean, I don't even know what difficulties I could possibly cause. But, I mean, there's absolutely zero drama as far as I'm concerned, except when I'm in front of the camera.
It's amazing speaking to you, and I know people listening, connecting with you, you can feel that sincerity in your heart and that love for your parents and your upbringing and where you came from. But do you think that sometimes people get an impression that Hollywood does not have anybody with that depth and sincerity? Do you think that there are certain things that really separate you or people like you that find that happiness through being grateful and getting the priorities right?
Well, I've run into a few, and I don't mean that but there's only a few that you could run into. There's only a few that I've run into, but I don't doubt that there are more people out there like that. I mean, I'm one of these people who believe that man is basically good. And there are certain influences around him that sometimes can corrupt us. And it's like I hearken it to Ulysses when he was going past where the Titans were playing the Sirens were playing that beautiful song, and where guys would crash their ship against the rocks because they wanted to get closer and closer to the sound, to the music, to the beautiful melody that these women were singing, these sirens were singing. And he tied himself to the mast and put wax in the ears of his crew, and so that he can hear the music without, bringing the ship over to that the captain of the ship, bringing it over to where the rocks are and having it be destroyed. And in some sense, I kind of look at my life the same way. It's I have certain things that I have tied myself to, a mask on my back, and a lot of that has to do with, I'm in recovery almost a little over 19 years, and that's one of the things that I feel against my back, and it gives me a good grounding. I tell people that I learned finally years back that it's more important to figure out who you are and to think about that rather than what you are. And because for the longest time I would meet people and they go, I'm an actor. And I realized I'm so much more than that. And acting, I love doing it. And it's like, certainly it's given me a wonderful lifestyle, but it's not who I am. It's not about me. It's just something that's a part of me. But it's not about me. And so when you meet certain people, it's like, especially like even in the athletic world, you'll meet some ball players and you'll think, wow, I forgot that the guy was even a ball player, because he's involved in so many like charitable works and stuff like that, or trying to give back. And when he meets people, he doesn't ever put himself in a position where somehow he's special and they're not. Now, I'm sure there are people out there that are like that. I haven't run into any of them really, but I've heard stories.
you know, you really, thank you so much for sharing all this, and I know that you're an inspiration to, you know, people all over the world by saying some of these things. You know, maybe somebody out there is listening and they're going through an addiction, or they're dealing with something where they lost their job, or feeling like they are, as you said, not who they are, but it's what they are, what they do. What do? You're an actor. Or what do? You're this. You're that.
A lot of people identify themselves as what they do, and I guess in the sense of pride that goes along with that. But yet, you know, they say that pride goeth before the fall. So.
Pride, that evil thing, pride. It's that first downfall. It's always the pride. So
pride,
you know, but
wasn't
you have,
pride that came out of Pandora's box. One of the seven. I think it was pride was one of them. I'm not sure. I have to.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, but you know, it's so true. And I think, you know, the opposite of that being humble. It's I get the sense that maybe it was because, you know, you had a lot of, I know you said you started later in your acting career, I guess by Hollywood standards, in your later 20s, right?
I was 28 years old.
So by Hollywood standards, that's supposed to be younger, but you really climbed the charts. I mean, you really did super, super well, especially, you know, I think, Do you feel like you rose to the, you were at the top really quick, that you got a lot of fame and glory that way? And what does that do to a person? Did it put you in a place where you felt that you were that what, and then that turnaround came, and with all the things that you're doing now that are really, really, I think, spiritually centered, did you find that when you started out?
Well, yes and no. I mean, like I said, those values that my parents taught me were always there. But like a lot of people, and I can't, I mean, okay, I say a lot of people. Like people, I'm sure, you get tempted by this stuff, you know. It's great when you show up on a set and people get you a cup of coffee, you know, whether you're 10 feet away from the coffee place or not, and you say, no, I'll get it myself. No, we got to get you to set. Here's a cup of coffee. How do you like it? You know, all this, there's a lot of pampering that goes on. And sometimes you get kind of used to it, you know, in the beginning for me. And now, the past, you know, 10 years, 12 years, that's not been the case, or even longer than that. It's like, no, I'll get it myself. Don't worry about it, you know. And they go, no, we don't mind. I know you don't mind. I need to get it myself. I think it was like David Bowie that one time said, whenever possible, refuse the limo, the stretch limo. Because, you know, it's one thing if they pick you up, you know, obviously they can pick you up in a town car. They don't need to pick you up in a limo all the time. And I'm, you know, and he says you sit in the back of those limos, and I know exactly what he means. If you're in the back of those big stretch limos by yourself, it's like weird. You know what I mean? Mm. One thing if you have a few people with you and you all want to party back there or something like that and have a good time, you know, fine. Then driving in a town car might be impractical. But when you're by yourself, it's just, I don't know. Mm. It just seems silly.
You know, it's, I tell you, I don't mean to be morbid, but I think sometimes we forget that we're all connected. Like right now, whoever's listening, we have a lot of people listen on replay, but no matter what we're doing, how much money, good looking, bad, whatever it is, none of us are staying, right? I mean, the idea that we think we're going to be staying, we all know that our time is limited. And I think that that's kind of humbling to think, you know, it's Albert Hubbard, we're on the quote thing now, you know, don't take life too seriously, you'll never get out alive. It's like, right. Hello, you know, none of us are staying. So, you know, doing something that's really going to outlive us in a way to be remembered as making a difference. I mean, it's wonderful. It's so great to see you in your acting career. You've won your Prism Award. You've been nominated so many times, and you clearly connect with the audience. I think I was watching a video that you did. Might have been from the keynote group where you were talking about when you first were on stage and you kind of heard the breath of the audience as you were actually speaking your lines. And we learn and we change so much through stories. I mean, they affect our lives, and you have an ability to do that with the God-given gift of being an actor. But also there's something else there that you're sharing with these talks about values. What do you want people to really come away with? Something that, okay, Tony Denison, wow, what is something that you want to leave them with that maybe they don't know about you that you'd like them to know that could change their life?
Real simple. I mean, it's not so much a question of changing somebody's life. I just would like to be remembered as a good man who happened to be an actor. And that's what I did for my living. But that's not, you know, who I am. It's, like I said, going back to what I am versus who I am. And that's what I'd like to be remembered. I mean, my dad, God rest his soul, he was a truck driver. Yet at his funeral, there were 1,100 people. And I remember the priest talking to my mom, you know, like, he goes, you know, Mrs. Serrero, he said, I'm a little confused. He said, it says here on your husband's, you know, information biography card that he was a truck driver? And she goes, yeah, why? He goes, there's like 1,100 people, 1,150 or 75 people at this funeral. And she said, yeah. He goes, that's double the amount of people that came for this congressman's, you know, funeral. And he was a beloved congressman. My mother said, well, you know, they really loved my dad. You know, they really loved him, the people he did favors for. And he was always there to listen. He was a great listener. 3 o'clock in the morning, if your car broke down and you were like, you know, 50 miles from where my dad was, he'd call up. He'd say, hey, John, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. My father would come get your car started, you know, or give you a ride somewhere. That's just the way he was. Mm-hmm. And people never forgot that, you know. And so, like I said, so at his funeral, there were 1,150 people. And there were grown men, you know, sobbing, you know. And so I'd have to say that the legacy that we leave behind, ultimately with my dad, he was a good man who happened to be a truck driver. So hopefully that I could be remembered as a good man who happened to be an actor.
Mm. You know, authenticity, people just, we're the integrity. Do you think that we're starving for integrity like that? Like your dad just, it didn't, you know, he loved the person and all those people were there because he was real.
Right.
You know, do you think that we're sort of spiritually starved for people of real integrity today?
Well, you know, look at it this way. A lot of people get their information from the news, okay? So what is the news? You know, I used to be a newspaper editor. So what mm-hmm. does the news focus on? The news focus on, like they used to say, if it bleeds, it leads. So they used to, you know, the thing was like the sensational stories, the horrible stories, man's inhumanity to man, you know, and that basically would what people would stop to pick up the newspaper about. They wouldn't want to hear about, oh, my God, in Los Angeles last night there were, you know, 1,100 births and, you know, and 2,200 people, mothers and fathers, were like thrilled at the birth of a child. You know, they had the miracle of the birth of a child. Or, 11,000 people this week, got promotions and raises or got jobs. Those stories are not, you know, they're not important. But yet there's so many wonderful things that go on out there that, you know, that we don't get a chance to focus on because the press, I mean, and I'm not denigrating them for this. I mean, I'm saying what happens is we tend to think that the world is crazy out there when really we're only hearing about, like, you know, 2-5% of what's going on in the world. The other 90% of what's going on in the world, basically good. People are, you know, coming home at night in whatever language and whatever location, putting bread on the table for their family, you know, and asking their kids how they did in school today and stuff like that. So there's a lot, there's so much more of that going on than there is, you know, all the other stories. But again, the other stories have a sensational quality. So we read so much about them that we tend to think that that's the norm. And it's not. It's the norm for 5% of the world, but not for 100% of the world or 95% of the world. I remember once when I was in college, it was really funny. I hadn't read a newspaper in a long time. I don't know why. I just hadn't read a newspaper. And one night we were all out partying, and we decided to go to the diner at, I forget what time it was. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning to get like something late to eat. And there was a copy of the Daily News. I went to a college upstate New York, and they had a copy, of the Daily News, and I picked it up. And I started reading it, and the headlines was, I said, oh, my God, what's going on? I mean, you know, there were stories about Russia and this and that, and I was like thinking, oh, my, you know, so I was saying to my friends, oh, my God, we're near war, you know? And,
yeah.
And then I had to read the paper the next day to see, you know, the follow-up. And then by the end of the week, I realized I had become, you know, I just sort of become desensitized, and it was just the sensationalism. And by the end of the week, I realized, you know, okay, this is what's making me grab the paper from the rack, but this is not, there's no, you know, emergency or urgency about what I'm reading. It's just basically, hey, we want to focus on the negative because the negative is what sells, especially in the news. But, you know, and at the same time, being an old former newspaper person, I mean, I think people are entitled to know about, you know, any sort of troubles that there are out there in the world. I think we need to know that. I think we need to know about kings and queens and presidents and dictators, and we need to know exactly, you know, what these people are up to. I mean, I think that's really important stuff. But we have to remember that it's not the majority of stuff that's going on.
You know, I love how you say that, because it seems like, you know, that small 5% is the whole big picture, but it's not. And I love your personal sharing with the newspaper. I think, you know, sometimes we almost need to turn the TV off. I know for myself, I'm a big person that believes in being totally quiet and praying, you know. Of course, I'm Catholic, so I like my rosary beads and all that stuff too. But, you know, just that silence and really being able to get along with yourself and hearing. Do you have, you know, because you really focus on being grateful, and I don't know if that's because you had that time where maybe, you know, you had that switch where you talk about you'd been in recovery for so many years, you're very grounded. And so I didn't know if there was some sort of a spiritual, I mean, are there certain things you do in your day to keep you in that place of gratitude and humility? Because it's clearly present.
Well, I try to have an ongoing dialogue with, you know, my higher power, as we say in the rooms. I try to have this ongoing dialogue with this idea that's in my head. And as a result of this ongoing dialogue, I'd like to think that, you know, throughout the day when I'm connected to that thought, that I'm vibrating at a very connected level to what's great about the, you know, people. Man, and, you know, but again, nobody is 100% successful at it, so you just keep trying as best you can to, you know, to keep striving. Like, we have a word in the rooms that I attend for recovery, and it's like trudging the road of happy destiny. Well, I love that word, trudging, because it basically means to, like, walk with purpose. You know, with determination, and you just keep going ahead, and you just, you know, it's like the best story of all is the most famous race in the world was won by a turtle, and all the turtle wanted to do was finish the race. I mean, in terms of storytelling, I don't think that the character thought that he was ever going to win the race against the rabbit, but his determination was that I'm going to finish. I'm going to get to the finish line. And he wound up winning because he trudged, you know, this racetrack with this rabbit. And the rabbit took things for granted. The rabbit, like, you know, ignored all of the gifts that had been given, and the speed and, you know, agility, and just took it all for granted. And the turtle just said, hey, you know what? I'm determined. And that's how come the turtle won. So ultimately, if we can be a little bit like the turtle from time to time, be surprised where we might wind up at the end of any one particular day's trudging.
You know, and I love, you have so many great stories. Now, you got to be putting all these down in a book, right? So that we can, life lessons, you know, the happiness and life lessons with Tony Dennison. Because, I mean, there's a lot of rich stories that you have in the history with your family and Italy and all this. I mean, these are some great things that, you know, that awesome stuff. You, do you have a book coming out on all of this? Or
well, my
you
friend
are a writer.
Judah, I have a very dear friend. He's like, it's like family, really. I mean, you know, he's younger than me, and you know, he's just wonderful and wonderful kid. And it's like he goes, you know, calls me Papa Bear. He goes, you know, you gotta write this stuff down. You gotta come out with a book. And I'm like, I said, yeah, okay. You know, one of these days I'll jot some of this stuff down. I said, but I don't really feel like anything I'm coming up with is original. But, you know, I mean, I wish I had written the story of the turtle and the hare. That would, you know, but yet I try to use it, you know, I use it in that that example that I was giving you. And so maybe I'm, you know, putting a spin on it. I don't know. I mean, or maybe the people just need to be reminded that these stories exist and that there's lessons for us all to learn.
No, I'm telling you, I am definitely, and we have it recorded now, you have got to write a book, because one of the things that I do that I love to do is work with teens, and they are starving for good mentors. And you have a real gift of connecting because of the talent for acting and so forth, but the way that you tell the stories too, you know, people need good mentors, especially the youth today. And books, I mean, I love, I can't know Tony Dennison. I can't know all the years that you've lived. But for $15 or $20 in a book, I can actually learn your life lessons. Now, that is a bargain. I mean, I think that is so, I mean, gosh, the things that you could say from growing up and all of the amazing, I mean, writing and you had the poker and started later with the acting, and then you did this and your mom and all these life lessons with the values. I think you need to do, I think that's the next thing that you absolutely have to do.
Okay. I'll take that under advisement. I will, Judah will be happy. My friend Judah, you know, his girlfriend now, they just say, yeah, Tony, you should write this stuff down. And I'm like, yeah, okay, all right, uh-huh. You know, and maybe I will. Maybe I mean, I, you know what? I probably will. I just don't know when I'm going to start doing it, but I will.
Yeah, and once you start, it's just going to happen so quick. And then you'll have to come back on the show and tell us about it. You know, the I forget who the author was of who moved my cheese.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you talked. I have to finish the book because my agent, you know, has been giving it to his different clients, and I'm like, oh, God, I was supposed to return it. Anyway, go. Any, you were saying?
No, but do you love it? I'm just saying that reminded me of what you were saying about, well, I don't know when I'll get to it, and people telling you, you got to write this down, Tony, your friends. That book, he was telling that story for, what, 10 years before he finally wrote it down? And look at that little story. That's one of my all-time favorite books. I love that little book. Did you love it?
You know, it's another good book. You know, it's another good book. You ever read The War of Art?
You know, I have, but a long time ago. But that is really a fact. What did you love about that book?
The War of Art?
Yeah.
The motivational aspect of it, to let you know that if you have a certain amount of determination, it doesn't matter whether you think you have skill or not. If you have determination, you can... You know, you can move forward. You can do this stuff. It's like this business philosopher named Jim Rohn, not Jim Rome, the sports guy, but Jim Rohn. He had a thing. You know, if you want to write a book, he goes, write a page a day, and he goes, and at the end of a year, you'll have a book of 365 pages. Now, it may need to be like gone over a couple of times, you know, but he says, but that's how you can write a book. You just write a page a day if you want. You know, there's a lot of examples of people out there who, you know, give us life lessons. And whether or not we decide to move forward with the lesson is up to us. It's not up to them. It's up to us. I mean, there's so many, who moved my cheese and the simple stories. Like one of the best stories I like to, I don't have any children. I haven't been blessed with any children yet, I suppose. I mean, all life is about yet. And
that's so true. I love that. See, that goes in the book. That's what you have to do. Tony Vincent, you have to take a little piece of paper and you got to write that down right now. The whole life is about yet. See, little things like that, and then you collect them throughout your day, and then it's going to be awesome because that's awesome stuff right there. I love that.
Well, anyway, well, thank you. But I was going to say that I know a lot of men who, you know, have children, and maybe they didn't have the greatest relationship with their dads. And so I told them about this book that helps them with their own children, and it's called The Knight in Rusty Armor. Have you ever read that?
No, I never heard of it.
You know a man who's having, having an identity crisis as far as, you know, being a father and stuff like that. Read The Knight in the Rusty Armor. It's written by, oh, God. He used to be a writer, believe it or not, for your show of shows with Groucho Marx. And I'm telling you, I don't know a man alive who I've turned him onto that book, has not walked away from that book crying as they read it with their son.
Wow. I'm telling you, words have so much power, don't they? And
yeah, they say, you know, the pen is mightier than the sword, so... You know, there's always that hypothetical situation. Who has the right of way at an intersection? You know, the fire truck, a police car, or a mail truck. not necessarily realistic answer, but the hypothetical answer, or the answer that makes the most sense if you think about it, because the mail truck. Because the mail truck might be carrying a letter that would have information that would save hundreds of thousands of lives, as opposed to a fire truck or an ambulance whose, like, their immediate thing is not 100,000 lives, but, you know, maybe 50 lives or 100 lives. And so, yeah, the written word is very powerful.
I know. I tell you, I love books. And I don't know who said this, but I'm sure you've heard this, but somebody saying, I can tell you who you are, who your character is, and who you are, you know, at your heart, in the core of your essence, by the books that are on your shelf in the house of what you're reading.
Yeah, I said that.
You said that.
I'm only kidding.
Did I tell you I loved you today? I love it. I know that you said that. But isn't that like so true?
Well, it's Emerson who said, you know, what you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying.
Oh. I
so,
love that.
You know, so it's, yeah, you know, you walk into it. It's funny, that book example. I was having a really surreal slowdown period in my career, which I didn't understand why, but I was trying to make the most of it. And during that period of time, I learned carpentry. I read books that taught me how to do carpentry, and carpentry is like a hobby of mine today. But anyway, I forgot the point I was going to make.
You were talking about books that tell you who you are as a person.
Oh, yeah, thank you. So what happened was one day somebody was over my house and we were talking about some stuff, program stuff from the recovery program I'm involved in. And they looked on my bookshelf behind my, opposite my desk, and they said, there was maybe like about 100 books on the shelf, or, you know, 80 to 100 books. And they said, my God, they said, have you read all those books? And I looked over at them and I was like, yeah. I realized I read them all. And they said, when did you have the time to read all those books? And I realized, well, I read them when I was not working, you know, when I was looking for work. So rather than sit around and mope and complain all day, you know, I mean, look, everybody goes outside in their backyard, so to speak, when they're going through what I'm going through, and they have their King Lear moment where they rail at the heavens. And then you do that for a little bit and you say, okay, I got to get proactive right now and do something positive. Because screaming and yelling at the sky is not going to do anything. Screaming and yelling, you know, I remember there was a couple of movies that I had been up for that I didn't get, and somebody else got them. And, you know, and I used to be like sort of a little sour grapes, you know, this is going back, like, I remember the really when I woke up to this was back in 91 or 92, and I realized that no matter how much I bellyached and complained, that person was not going to dematerialize off the screen, and I was going to materialize in their place. You know, the project was over, and I had to move on. And I learned that, like, my not getting a particular movie role and also even a TV role has nothing to do with my talent. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with somehow there's something going on that requires you to do something else. And I know we don't like to hear that, and I, you know, at the time I had difficulty with it, but it makes perfect sense.
See, now this is another thing that has to go in your book, because, and this is where you being a great mentor, I think, is awesome, because, you know, you are living that example, the Emerson example. You didn't sit around and mope. You read all those books. Now, had that not happened, you might not have read all those books. You might not be the person you are today talking to us right now. So, you know, everything really does work together, you know, if you kind of look for it and have the eyes that see. And, you know, you really have the ability to see. But I think, you know, speaking with you today, it's almost like you're giving all of us you know, a new pair of glasses. And it's really great that you're handing over those glasses that we can see things from the perspective that you have, because it really is a positive one. And not everything in your life has been perfect, and you're sharing that with us transparently. But, you know, most people look at you like, well, Tony Denison, and look at all the awards and all the things that he's done and what's going on. And what's so beautiful is that you're like, hey, you know what? I work these steps, and I do these things. And I think that to me is what I find so refreshing about you.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I try to think, it's like I tell people, you know, I say, look, sometimes you're going to strike out. 'Cause in baseball, what makes the home run the really sweet thing that it is that the time up before, you ground it out. You know, you may have grounded out a couple of times in a row, and then you finally get that home run, and you just feel elated. So if you got a home run every time up, eventually baseball wouldn't be as challenging a sport as it's, you know, as it's meant to be. You would think, well, what's so tough about baseball? You know, and you'd lose interest. So that's what life's about. Life's about like a ball game. And you go out there, and you think, you know, some days I'm going to ground out, and some days I'm going to hit a home run. Just like, you know, all the heroes that are in the Hall of Fame, all the men that made it to the Hall of Fame, all the big sports heroes, so to speak. They made it. They all struck out with the bases loaded from time to time, and they all gave up a winning hit as a pitcher to the opposing team. But why did they make it to the Hall of Fame? Why did these 700 or less individuals make it out of the tens of thousands or the 10,000 or more who played? Because they focused on, you know, on the moment as much as possible, and didn't get overwhelmed by what they didn't do the last time up. But that's hard. I mean, you know, people, we have a lot of, I mean, I've done it myself. I sometimes still do it. We have a lot of, like, living in the past moments. And we have to work on that all the time. And, you know, I've learned to recognize that feeling now. And I know when I'm in that feeling, I am trying to make some, I'm turning, as like I tell people, I'm turning a want, something that I want, into a need. Like suddenly I need to have it. And when that feeling comes over me, I take a breath and I go, wait a minute. I don't need this thing. I just want it. And I've somehow connected my energy to the fact that, oh, I got to have this. Well, no, I don't. But I work at that all the time, you know, because that's an old habit. And as they say, old habits die hard, so.
Yeah, I know, and it's really it's not easy to always to break those old habits. But you really think about what you're thinking about, and you have a kind dialogue with yourself. And I think that's a great example, because the want versus the need, isn't that a huge one? Boy, that can be deadly, because really what we need is very little, isn't it? I mean, and I love getting back to your dad talking about the example at the funeral, how many people were there because they really loved him. That was a testimony to him and his life. And, you know, I think that that's sometimes what we need to reflect on. Is there something that you today at your age, and I know we're both fellow Virgos, I think, so we have September birthdays, but as you approach this upcoming birthday, do you have something you would tell yourself, the younger you, the Tony Denison, you know, at 30, what would you tell him now that you know today?
Oh, that I guess I would tell myself that all of the things that seemingly don't, that all the stuff that doesn't seem to go your way is in actuality lessons for you to learn on how to be a better person. And if you take the time to really, like, learn the lesson, you'll walk away from it recognizing that you do have a certain amount of strength, certain amount, you know, gifts that are, you know, very valuable. But it's hard, you know, especially to a young person, even a person in their 30s. You know, the impatience level on all of us at that age is amazing. And, you know, we want it yesterday. And we have to realize that, you know, sometimes adversity builds character. But we, you know, we don't, people don't like to know that, you know.
Gosh, you just made me think, and I don't know who said this, but you probably know, the person that said the quote, sometimes a winner needs to lose to become a true champion.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Making me think of that. I'm looking at the time, and I know that we're running out of it. I cannot believe it, because I'm telling you, it went so fast, and it was so exciting. But we've got to tell people about the closer, July 9th on TNT. That's when we'll be seeing the final episodes. And now the spinoff you're doing now, the
Major Crime.
Okay, tell us a little bit about that and when that will be on.
Well, this is the first time, I think, on television that has happened this way. The very last episode of The Closer, which is August 13th, mm-hmm. will be followed immediately by the very first episode of Major Crimes. And then Major Crimes the following week will take over the Closer time spot. But I think it's the first time, I mean, a few people have said it's the first time this has happened where, in a sense, the spinoff show followed it immediately. So it's almost like when the last episode of The Closer ends, it's like, oh, and then a couple of days later, you know, this is what happens. And,
wow.
You know, really, as a fan of The Closer, as a person who's a fan of The Closer, they really enjoy the fact that they don't have to wait till next week to see what happens. They get to see what happens, like, oh, so this is what happens, you know. So, oh, okay, and life goes on.
That is going to be so awesome. You look like you have a lot of fun on the set with all the people that you work with there. I mean, what a great – I love that. I mean, The Closer is just such a great, great show. I mean, so are you – so this is going to be fun to have Major Crimes follow it right away. We don't have to wait.
Right, yeah. I think it's going to be interesting. And Major Crimes is, again, written by James Duff, same person who wrote the pilot for the Closer. You know, he's a brilliant man. And I'd have to say that the transition from one show to the other, and I'm not just saying it because I'm involved in it, but as a viewer, I'd have to say is seamless. People will come away from going, wow. You know?
Those are my kids. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Live there. Yeah, they're talking. But watching The Closer, which is one of my – I love it. But that is going to be really nice to not have to wait. You know?
Right.
That's my Beiju.
Okay,
Portuguese.
Well,
Beiju and Zuzu are my two mini schnauzers. Do you have
a
dog?
Oh, yeah, I love animals.
They're just a little crazy in here. But that is going to be August 15th is the last show for
August 13th.
13th, okay. Awesome. What would do you have any final words for anybody that you would like to share?
You know, just basically, you know, you can live your dreams. You know, it doesn't matter. No matter what you imagine, you know, can happen. I mean, I'm sure when Huxley and H.G. Wells sat down and, you know, and imagined, you know, space travel and time travel. I mean, I'm sure any of these things are possible. You know, when Alexander Graham Bell decided one day he had an idea, and next thing you know, we have telephones. You know, somebody sat down and had an idea, and we sat down in a chair. Another person had an idea, and then we were sitting at a table. All these things were ideas, and these ideas can become made manifest. just depends on how much we want to see this idea come to fruition. It's the trudging. So I guess I would say ultimately, if you have an idea, trudge with it.
If you have an idea, trudge with it. The word of the day, the trudge word. You got to love that. I am going to be very excited when you get this book done, because that's one of my dreams, because I want to read more of it. You're so fascinating, and you have such a great sense of humility, fun sense of humor, and you really are sharing your shine with the world. And you're using all your talents. You know, I think of parables and movies, and, you know, you're not burying any of your talents. You're out there, you're squeezing the juice out of life, and, you know, you really inspire people, and I know you've inspired so many people to be their best. And you're speaking, you're doing a lot of speaking now with businesses and organizations around the country with this topic, blue collar values in a gold collar profession. And I think that it's such a timely topic, and there's so many, you know, great stories that you have, and this has just been a real fun time to have you. So thank you so very much, Tony
My
Dennison,
pleasure.
For being with us. You're awesome. You're in the Best People We Know club.
Thank you so much.
Well, we can find you. You're also on Twitter, and you're in the Keynote group if somebody wanted to have you for, you know, follow up at their event. And is there any place else? I guess we could just follow you. We'll just look for you in the new TV series coming out.
And anybody can get a hold of me through my publicist, Nadine Jolson. Jolson Creative, I think, is the name of her organization. So, you know, if you want to get a hold of me and you want me to speak at some event, I love doing that stuff.
Awesome. Yes, and you're very good at it. Another one of your talents. You're just overflowing. Sharing your shine with us. So really, really appreciate it. And I know if you've enjoyed the show as much as I have, you want to listen to it again, you can download all of Tony Dennison's wisdom and inspiration and motivation on the Best People We Know show from iTunes. And you can download Mr. Dennison to your mobile device, and you can listen to him when you're out walking the dog, if you heard all my kids in the background, or, you know, you're going to the gym. And you can never recycle mind vitamins enough, because your mind and your thoughts and your feelings, they're inseparable. So when you think good thoughts, like Tony Dennison was saying, you know, get some good news into your head, plant some good seeds in the garden of your life, and watch all the beauty that will grow in it, and be grateful and appreciative. So make sure you share this show with a friend and download it, and tell people if you know somebody's looking for a speaker and they really want to have something that's unforgettable and unique and dynamic. I think that you can hear in Mr. Dennison's voice his sincerity and love for people to be their best. So make sure that you share his information with his publicist, Nadine, and so forth, so that you can have him bless you as much as he's been a blessing to us today. And with that, I always love to close, Mr. Dennison, with my favorite Oscar Wilde quote, which is, be yourself, because everybody else is already taken. Gotta love that. All right. Thank you so much. It was such an honor and a privilege, and lots of love and continued avalanche blessings to you. And thank you for sharing your shine with us. We really, really appreciate it. And we'll just be watching you on your new series and looking for you everywhere. And you're just awesome. And I can't wait to have you back when you get your book out.
Thank you very much. I'd love to come.
Okay, lots of love. Go out and make it a great day, everybody, and follow Tony Dennison's recipe for success. Go out, share your shine with the world, be yourself, and be awesome, be a blessing, and surely you will be blessed. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.